May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please. How extraordinary. How unfathomably extraordinary. The recounting of our salvation history, which we just heard, the story of our relationship with God, of God's unfailing faith towards us, and of our unfailing infidelity to God. This story leads us to a tomb. Everything we have heard from God's first utterance at the opening of the book of Genesis through the Old Testament into the New Testament to now has led us to this day just come to a close, this Holy Saturday, which ended at dusk just a few moments ago. Through drama and majesty and power and prophecy and falling and failing and by grace trying yet again, we found ourselves huddled in the dark of this night. This night. This dark and most holy night. This is the night that we live and experience and know in our bones the truth of St. John's bold proclamation, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the night. This is the holy night when all creation holds its breath. Almost there. The entire history of salvation in a night. That's a lot of scripture in one sitting. By the time you go home tonight, you may feel like you were there from the beginning of creation. And I want you to know that there could have been more readings than we heard. But never fear, I'm going to sneak one of those extra ones in for you so you won't miss it. Because I spent a lot of time praying this Holy Saturday just passed. And in one of the readings that we passed by tonight and did not hear, the Spirit, I think, was showing me some connections to the night where we find ourselves now. I'm referring to a passage from the prophet Ezekiel. You probably know the story. If you don't, you probably know the song. The vision of the valley of the dry bones. God gives Ezekiel a vision of this valley and asks him if the bones can live. And Ezekiel wisely answers, "Well, God, you know." And then God tells him to prophesy to the dead bones and to tell them that God said that they would live, and they live. In this dry and barren valley, in which nothing but the pieces of the dead remain, whether it's a valley in Ezekiel or a tomb in Mark, God is about to do a thing which only God can do. An extraordinary thing. In the midst of death and out of things that are themselves dead, God is about to make life. How extraordinary. Now, Ezekiel lived as a prophet among the exiles in Babylon, and he lived to see the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem by the Babylonians while he was still in exile. He was called by God to speak God's truth to God's people at a time and in a place where there was no hope. Not a shred of evidence even to suggest that God's people might survive as a nation beyond the current generation. Their kingdom was dead. Their culture was dead. Their temple was destroyed, their population decimated, and thousands of their people torn from their homes and lands and held captive in a foreign empire. Centuries later, on the day we commemorated yesterday, this day just passed, the friends of Jesus could not have been holding on to much hope themselves. Scattered and broken by the combined might of the chief priests on one hand and the soldiers of the foreign occupational government on the other, driven into hiding, frightened into denying Jesus, they surely feared for their very survival. Their movement was destroyed, their Messiah crucified, dead, and buried. And all that had happened by Friday evening. On Saturday, silence. Stillness. We here at Holy Trinity know something about this particular kind of silence and stillness. We have endured so many losses this year. Brothers and sisters whom we love dearly, yet see here no more. This is not the silence or stillness of peace or tranquility. Rather, a stunned silence, a stillness that comes from being unable to move, from being numb with shock and grief. The kind of stillness and silence we might expect to find in a barren valley filled with dry bones. It is into this silence that God bids Ezekiel to speak. It is into this silence that God bids us to speak. It is into this hopeless, desolate silence that God proclaims, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord your God, to these bones I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live." It is into this numb stillness that God commands, "Prophesy to the breath, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they might live." It is in this still, silent darkness that we remember the beginning when a wind from God, the Spirit of God, when the breath of God swept over the face of the waters. And then, where there had been a formless void, now there was light and life. This is what our God does. This is what our God is about to do. This is what our God always does. This is what our God calls us to do. For like Ezekiel, we are given a part to play. God invites Ezekiel into God's remarkable action of making life where there had been death. He does not command Ezekiel merely to witness what God is doing. God commands Ezekiel to speak God's word, and it is through Ezekiel that God makes life from death. How unimaginably extraordinary! In a moment, we will renew our baptismal vows. I implore you to remember that in the waters of baptism, you died with Christ and were buried with him. And just as God raised Christ from the tomb, Christ raised you to new life. We were dead, and now we live. Rejoice and sing now, all the round earth, bright with a glorious splendor, for darkness has been vanquished by our eternal King. Let us all, therefore, go out and boldly proclaim the good news.